Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
Do you feel differently about Martha Stewart after hearing her latest video at the age of 83 years old? So take a listen.
Oh, hi, I'm Martha Stewart. What gets me in the nude? How about a strawberry fresh picked from the garden? Best in the hot sun. Honey? Golden amber. Makes a mess.
What the hell? I'd rather be celibate than lay on a white bed eating strawberries with her at the age of 83. What?
You gotta watch it, man. Maybe
does
change
she look good?
Listen, I'm telling you right now, I never thought I would say that Martha Stewart kind of got me going there, but yeah.
What?
I'm just saying.
Wait, now, do you see the body?
Yeah, you see her. You see her face.
I mean, she's not fully naked, obviously.
No, she's not naked. No, she's wearing, like, nude clothing or whatever type of thing.
Does she have, the grandma belly?
It's not her body. It's like, but her face. It's her talking. Yeah. It's her, yeah.
Well, okay, it might get you going, but eventually you got to touch it.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna take a pass on that. Yo, boy.
So did we finally watch the video?
I watched it.
BT?
I watched it.
And now has that changed your mind?
A little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
A little bit. Just enough to.
83.
Yeah, I mean,
but it did something.
Well, here's the thing. There, when I saw, when I first heard it, that was in real time. You heard my reaction, okay? And then when I watched it, I had a different reaction. But then when I just heard it again, I got grossed out again. But I will admit, there was a softening of my stance upon the visual, which was better than I thought for 83.
Listen,
sure.
I'm not saying it's normal, but it was something. That's all I'll say.
That is great. That's funny. All right. Let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal minus Sal. Breezy Point. What's up, Rye? How you doing, buddy?
Man. You know, there's only one team I'd hang on for. I got to get Hoff to give me the run of show next time. You know, when you took the job at The Fan a few years back, you were doing some holiday solo shows over the break, and I was real happy for you.
Okay.
And I called you and congratulated you. And I had asked you at that juncture, point blank, what it would take to get St. John's, not just on this show, but in general, back into the sports discourse in this town. And your answer was they have to win. And they're starting to get back into that realm, as you alluded to in your monologue. You know, the past 2 weeks, they've been on the back page, number 15 in the country. It's coming. And I said at the beginning of this month that this team needed to make hay in January against solid but not great competition. And they have. This Saturday, they have an opportunity entering a critical February stretch to bring a lot of bodies back into Madison Square Garden. And it was all in Vaccaro's article. It's hard for a lot of the transplanted residents of New York to understand. When this team is good, the atmosphere in and out of that building is very special. But you have to win on Saturday. And then you get into this stretch that has the potential to be really, really special. But you know what's tough, man? Mm. You have the captive audience. You feel like you made hay. You've clawed them back. But now you got to deliver even more goods to keep them.
I agree. You know what's funny, too, Rye? Because in that article by Vaccaro, and one of the schools he just happened to use was my school. You know, I went to Marist. And I would encourage you guys to go check this out online on the Post, on the Post website. He basically said, whether it was Marist or some other schools that he mentioned, basically, you know, when you pack your bags and go to school, you take a piece of St. John's, or at least those back of us back in the day would take a piece of St. John's with us. And I remember, he's literally correct, because I remember being on the campus of Marist and St. John's playing Hofstra. I think it may have been the ECAC holiday tournament, and me, the only lunatic on the campus of Marist, trying to find an off-campus room that had MSG so I could watch it. And I actually found it, and I watched
the
game.
I was the same way.
Yeah.
I went to Ithaca College, and people were so allegiance to St. John's basketball. But all these neighborhoods, right? It used to be Marine Park, Bay Ridge. Now it's Rockville Center, Garden City, Rockaway, Breezy Point. It's pretty much, you know, it's stayed pat.
Yep.
But you're seeing people start to claw back out of these kids and get back to Madison Square Garden. And provided they do what they need to do on Saturday, they have an opportunity Tuesday night on a quick turnaround to play as ostensibly the number 12, 13, 14 team in the country against a fellow top 15 opponent in Marquette. And that, to me, Brandon, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
The last time you've had that type of matchup with that type of ranking implication in conference in February, you got to go back to those Elite Eight teams from 98, 99 when they had won the Big East tournament in 2000. So what I would encourage anybody, whether it's a dad who's trying to get his kid into Madison Square Garden, but it's $400 to go to a Knick game, jump on Ticketmaster, look at St. John's schedule, because as you mentioned, this is a whole new operation. Ed Cullen, the athletic the director chair.
It's totally different,
Rick
right? It's totally, by the way, I got to run because the show's over. I'll see you at the Garden, hopefully Saturday. I had to clip you. I know you're a good guy. I know you a little bit. Big fan. I just had to because I'm up against it. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. So I guess it would have been 2 weeks ago. I said this on the air. I didn't get too much into it, but it ties in what we're talking about. So my son turned 10, and my wife and I was working the game, but I had my wife, and then I had, four or five good friends in town watch, just as chaperones, because they're still so young. 25 kids go to the Seton Hall St. John's, because we live in Jersey. So when the game was at The Rock, and, it was a big thing. And they had the signs, and we got each one of the kids a white St. John shirt. And I'm telling you, that's how it starts. And, my son's watching every game, but now there's kids in that group, including his best friend Brody, who's been watching St. John's for the past year. This is in the suburb of New Jersey. And last year they were 9 when they were doing this. And a couple of other kids, hey, coach, because some of them call me coach. Coach, when St. John's is next year? Are they on what channel? FS1? Yeah, FS1. That's how it starts. But this is all spearheaded by a complete shift in philosophy by the university. When you're at a school like St. John's and like a Providence and a Villanova, Catholic schools without football budgets, if you don't have a president that understands the importance of basketball, you're going nowhere. And even if you do, but that person doesn't have cohesion and symmetry with the athletic director and the head coach, you're still going nowhere. When St. John's hired Father Shanley, who was at Providence, it changed everything, because I don't think anybody else would have had the guts to hire Patino after what Rick's been through. And Rick's owned up to it. Hey, Catholics forgive. I mean, stop living in 200 years ago. We made a mistake. Maybe made two mistakes. All right, great. Come on, win some games. Everybody else is doing it. So they took a swing, and here you go. Perfect January for the first time since 84, 85. And I can tell, I'm seeing more and more of you at the Garden, which is awesome. All right, tomorrow a little more football. We'll follow this Alonzo stuff, obviously. Hey, Ev, did you find the gummy, Evan? Evan, did you find the gummy? And he has not yet found the gummy. All right, so hopefully he can get his hands on that. And that'll be a very interesting / train wreck of a podcast. But anyway, he's coming up with Tiki next. Have a great day. Sal, heal up, brother. Prayers to you. Feel better. I'll catch you tomorrow at 10. Bye-bye.